This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Margaret Spellings will soon take over as president of the UNC system. Her hiring marks a controversial new era in the leadership of the state's network of public universities. Spellings is a former education secretary under the George W. Bush administration and has no advanced degrees. Critics take that as a sign that she was hired to push a conservative political agenda. Some of those critics, including professors at UNC Chapel Hill, protested at the latest Board of Governors meeting.
Margaret Spellings' record shows she cannot lead the UNC system. She is the embodiment of corporatization of higher education. Margaret Spellings consistently supports private over public interest.
But others who have previously worked with Spellings say they think her political background is an asset. They say her experience with a Republican president is just what the UNC system needs to connect with a Republican legislature. Spellings will replace Tom Ross, a Democrat who was ousted by the Board of Governors earlier this year. Sarah Brown's been following the story for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and she joins me now on the State of Things. Hello, Sarah.
Hi there.
Tell us and remind us about the way in which Tom Ross was ousted as president. How did that happen?
Sure. So that goes back to January when the Board of Governors essentially pushed Tom Ross out of office, and the board's leaders didn't offer many reasons why. I was in the press conference that occurred immediately after that announcement, and the chairman at the time, John Fenebresque, pretty much rejected any of the possibilities we offered up. You know, it wasn't politics. It wasn't Tom Ross's age. It wasn't the scandal at Chapel Hill. And in the months since, we still haven't gotten a lot of concrete answers for his removal, though I would say most observers have speculated that politics did play a role. As you mentioned, President Ross is a Democrat, and he was appointed to the presidency right before the legislature and the board became majority Republican. So he's been in office at a time when we've been witnessing a conservative revolution of sorts in the state's political circles, and there have been some inherent tensions there. But I will say that, you know, some have said that it's not surprising that the board would want a president who is more on the same page as they are with respect to a vision for higher education in the state.
All right. And so the board was looking for a new president, obviously. And then this dust up when it was revealed that the Board of Governors was interviewing Spellings. Tell us how that story arose.
Sure. So the chairman, again, at the time was John Fenebresque, and he called an emergency meeting for the board to meet with Margaret Spellings. And that sort of sparked some tensions among the board about the lack of transparency in the search. It sparked public criticism for the search being too secretive. And of course, the state legislature then eventually passed a bill that required three candidates to be presented by the search committee to the full board. And of course, in this case, the board only met with one candidate. So it certainly was a messy process. And of course, faculty throughout the last few months have decried the lack of faculty members' direct involvement in the search.
Now, you talked about that bill that passed the legislature. Governor McCrory didn't sign it in time. It got signed at the moment the Board of Governors was meeting to approve the Spellings nomination. So had the bill been signed earlier, of course, that would have required two more candidates. It sat on his desk for a few days, and then that's how it was that they were able to go with Spellings as the sole candidate despite the bill that passed in the legislature, right?
That's all correct, yes.
So Margaret Spellings, Secretary of Education during the George W. Bush administration, and at that time she led something that came to be known as the Spellings Commission. Now, what was that?
So Margaret Spellings formed a commission during her time in the Bush administration that in 2006 produced a landmark report on the future of higher education. And the report basically said that universities have become complacent and that the status quo is not good enough anymore. It, you know, hit on some points, including that we need to ensure more accountability in higher education. We need to do more to keep costs down. Colleges and universities need to be better at becoming sort of economic drivers. And it garnered a fair amount of criticism. One specific aspect of the criticism was the report talked about students as customers. And interestingly, that's something that Margaret Spellings also brought up in her first press conference after her selection as president, talking about sort of students as customers. And I think in the context of the UNC system, that report's focus on accountability has some people worried about that she might take a one-size-fits-all approach to running the 17 campus system.
Now, you've talked to a number of people who served on that commission. What do they say about Margaret Spelling's ability to lead?
So when I've talked to people who have worked with her on a more national level, they've said she understands how to work within a political setting. And that makes a lot of sense for a university system president, which naturally involves a lot of interaction with the legislature. They tell me that she's tough. She knows how to advocate and to negotiate, and she understands how to speak the language of politicians. Certainly, she's not the first politician to lead this UNC system in recent years. Erskine Bowles, who served right before Tom Ross, certainly came in with a political background as well. So people on that commission sort of point to that, as well as other state systems nationwide, where the governing boards have turned to politicians to lead and perhaps bring about changes and reform. The University of California is one example with Janet Napolitano.
Right. And as you say, the Board of Governors is going to choose somebody most likely who somehow comports with their sense of where the university system should be going. And Margaret Spelling's answered questions about politics in this particular office at a news conference shortly after she was announcement was made about her appointment. Let's listen.
These are all political settings. That's how we make public policy in this country and in this state, in a political setting. And, it's the fun of it, because that's why it's so important to be able to, understand what are we trying to do here, that our publics understand that too, that our leaders and legislators and funders and stakeholders are bought into it, and that we're moving out around that shared vision.
Incoming president of the UNC system, Margaret Spellings, in a press conference shortly after she was hired. I'm talking with Sarah Brown, a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. So obviously politics plays an important part. I mean, that is your role. You're talking to the legislature about funding, about direction for the university. You've got to have some kind of political acumen. Of course, the other side of this is that she does not have an advanced degree. And sometimes, leaders of large corporations and businesses don't. But in this setting, particularly professors and other academics have said, well, but you do need that if you're going to run a university system. What about that argument?
Sure. So as you could tell from that clip from the press conference, she's very upfront about her political background. I mean, she also defended it in another comment she made where she said, I'm not an academic. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a researcher. I'm someone who understands public policy making. So she certainly thinks it's going to be an asset. But, faculty members who I've talked to have said, we really want someone who at the very least has experience on a college campus. And, Margaret Spellings doesn't even have an advanced degree. I think they're concerned that she won't really understand where they're coming from, especially since faculty members didn't have a direct role in the process itself. A few other concerns that faculty members have sort of brought up over the last couple of months since her appointment is her affiliation with the debt collection agency, her affiliation with the parent company of a for-profit university, as well as some comments she made years ago and more recently during that press conference about the LGBT community. So, faculty members are concerned about a wide range of elements of Spellings' background, as well as her lack of academic credentials.
So how does that, however you would sort it out and kind of who's ever right in this situation, the fact is there is a fair amount of controversy and concern, particularly among faculty. How does this affect the university system? Let's start with faculty recruiting, for instance.
Sure. So, it's difficult to speculate, of course, at this point, because Margaret Spellings is not in office yet. But faculty recruitment and retention has been an issue for UNC system campuses for a few years now. And a number of factors influence that. One is state budget cuts. Another, more anecdotally, a factor that could have had an impact is that some faculty have concerns about the direction higher education is going in the state. So in the context of, the controversy around Margaret Spellings, I think if you asked campus officials about how it might impact recruitment and retention of faculty, many of them would likely say that the negative headlines the system has garnered certainly don't help.
What about the impact on HBCUs in this state? Certainly an important factor in higher education in the state of North Carolina.
Sure. So, you know, it's fair to say that faculty and staff at HBCUs have been concerned in recent years. The post-recession state budget cuts to higher education have affected these campuses more than other institutions in the system. There are 5 historically Black colleges in the UNC system. And then, you know, in 2014, state lawmakers proposed shutting down Elizabeth City State University, though that didn't end up coming to fruition. So, you know, there are already some lingering concerns there. And as far as Margaret Spellings, you know, I haven't seen any specific statements from her about HBCUs, but I think people wonder whether she'll be as strong of a supporter of these institutions as President Ross has been.
Given her record and reputation in politics and the fact that there certainly is a political aspect to this, what is the fear among her critics about the direction in which she'll push this university? Where do they think she'll take it?
You know, there have been concerns over the last couple of years as state budget cuts have continued to pile up about things like degree program cuts, things like campus closings or campus consolidations. So I think, you know, her appointment, the appointment of a conservative who shares a lot of the same values as the conservative lawmakers who hold the majority in our state in the state legislature. You know, I think those concerns have been further stoked by her appointment. And again, you know, it's not really clear at this point what exactly her vision is going to be for the system. But it's certainly fair to say that her ideology and her background is more on the same page with the state legislature than President Ross's has been.
All right. Sarah Brown, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much.
Sarah Brown is a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Just ahead, the leader of the country swing band Asleep at the Wheel, Ray Benson, talks about his newly released memoir, coming right at you. And we'll do that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.